This morning, I'd like to talk about peace, which is the fruit of the Spirit. You see here in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Now, it is something which is clearly seen in the Christian, in the believer. Now, what is this peace? Our dictionary tells us peace is a noun, so it's a describing word, right? It describes somebody who is calm, it means you are not disturbed physically. It describes somebody who is serene, it means your mind is at ease. You are not disturbed by any ill thoughts. And I hope that all of you here are in a peaceful condition. You had a good night's sleep, you had a good breakfast, aircon is just right for you, nobody caused you to lose your temper the night before or this morning. But that is the world's peace. Sometimes the peace that we have in this world depends on how well our handphone is working. You like to keep in touch with people, your handphone, the battery conks out, you are very frustrated. For housewives, your peace of mind may depend on getting a good mate or a good babysitter, so you know that your children or your household is being taken care of. For us men, the peace of mind may come from tomorrow we have a job to go to. We can earn to work a living and provide for our families. But that is the peace of this world. The things that depends on the things of this world. The Bible speaks of a different peace. The Bible's peace is a result of having faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The believer's peace is given by the Holy Spirit. God's peace is directed to us by the Holy Spirit. It is communicated to us, given to us. And it is also directed by the Word. That's why our churches always focus on preaching. Not singing, not dancing, not other forms of entertainment. It is the Word. And the Word alone that you should focus upon. Now, the peace of God is given to us or provided for us. It's just like parents, right? Children, why do you think your parents go out to work? Some of them don't really enjoy their jobs, you know. But they have to go to work. Why? Because they have to earn a living, to get the money, to provide food on the table. 3 square meals a day. Sometimes even supper, especially those of you with big appetites. Morning, breakfast, lunch and dinner. The parents have to provide for you. The food is laid out on the table. It's provided for you. It's given to you. But you as children, you don't just look at the food, right? By looking at the food, you will not get full. You must take the food and eat it. If you are babies, your motor skills are no good. Your parents have to feed you. But if you are older, then it's a do-it-yourself. You have to feed yourself. Now God has given us His peace. It is a given peace. And it is also a derived peace. We must catch hold of it ourselves. We must bring it into our lives. God has given us the peace through the Holy Spirit. But we must build upon that. We must derive more and more of it. And we'll speak more about that later on. Now peace from God, it's a given peace and a derived peace. Derived means we take it. And we take it mainly by the Word of God. Now in the Old Testament, the word peace, the chief ingredient of that word peace means safety. Safety in the Lord, spiritual and physical safety, safety from falling into sin, safety from the anger of God, safety from eternal punishment. Remember in the Old Testament, when the Israelites were called out from Egypt after 400 years of slavery, God was visibly with them. When they left Egypt, God was in front of them through the pillar of cloud and fire. When they saw that, they knew that God was with them. And when the Egyptians raced to catch them, God moved behind the host of Israel. They were stuck between the Red Sea and the Egyptians. God moved behind them through the cloud of fire and of the pillar of cloud and a pillar of cloud and pillar of fire. And he stood between the Egyptians and the Israelites. And he kept them safe. So in the Old Testament, when they say peace, it is safety. God is there taking care of them. And in the New Testament, peace, the word peace, the main ingredient is to join, to be one, to be reconciled. That means in the New Testament, the word peace tells us about being reconciled with God, your Father. You were once an enemy of God because of your sins. But through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have become His friend. And not only that, you have become His child. So there is no more barrier between the believer and God. So peace, the peace of God, means safety in His care, being one with Him, reconciled with Him. And I like to look at the peace, this peace, based on three things. Peace with God, peace with yourself, and peace in tribulations. Now if you open your eyes and you look around us, we have certain amount of peace, right? We were able to come freely to this church. There was no roadblock, no police stopping us. Anyway, none of you are wearing yellow shirts, so there's no reason to stop you. So we have a certain amount of peace, right? We are free to do what we want. We know our homes are relatively safe. We look around us, our country is okay, despite some of the political turmoils. We look around the world, it seems to be fairly quiet except for the financial problems and the Japanese problem and so forth. But we have a certain amount of peace. We can wake up in the morning, go to school, play with your friends, come home, go to your Facebook. You are free to do these type of things. You are free, you have peace to do all these type of things. And we as parents, we have the peace to go to work. There's no problems in our jobs and so forth. But all this peace is an illusion. It is not really there. The best example is given to us by our Lord Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 11, verse 21, it tells us, when a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. So imagine, there's a rich, wicked king. He is filthy rich, plenty of money, plenty of slaves, plenty of servants, plenty of soldiers. So he lives in a palace with high walls, thick walls, and these walls are constantly guarded by his soldiers. So nobody from the outside can come in, break in, and disturb him. Nobody can come in to rob him and disturb his peace. So this rich, wicked king is very happy in his kingdom, in his palace, and all his servants, his slaves, his soldiers obey him. And so he doesn't disturb them. He doesn't torture them. He doesn't give them a hard time, because all of them obey him. All of them do what he wants. So he is happy. He keeps them happy. So there's no disturbance. There is peace. And this is exactly the picture of Satan's control over this world. Sinners are given freedom, peace, to do their heart's desires, as long as they follow him. That's why we open our eyes and look around us. Look at the filthy rich fellows. They cheat and they lie and they get away with it. They're happy. They're having peace in what they do, cheating and lying. I know of one datuk who has borrowed money from the banks again and again. His projects all fail, but he still can go to the bank and borrow money. It's not fair, right? Some of us want to go to the bank and borrow, so no chance. But this guy, he's already a proven crook, yet the banks want to lend to him. So he has this peace, freedom, to do what he wants. We look at our friends at work, our friends in school, they are free to do what they want. Cheat at exams, backstab at the office and still get away with it, and even get a promotion. Look at our certain government departments. All kinds of nasty things happen, and yet, they get away with it. So they have this peace given by Satan. We have atheists who deny the existence of God. They say there's no God, and they're very happy with it, because they say, when I die, there's no hell, so I just disappear.
They
are happy with this idea. This is demonic peace. You see the other religions, people of the worldly religions, they have so many ceremonies, do so many prayers, give so many things to their temples and so forth, and they have peace. They think that they have done what is required of them and they're happy. But this is a false peace. This is a demonic peace. And Satan gives us false promises and false peace. He deadens our conscience. He makes us unthinking. We do not think of our eternal future. We have done whatever we can now. We leave the rest, when it comes. I've asked a friend of mine many years ago, what will happen to you? Have you thought about it if you die? He said, die lah. Never mind. Let it come. Then I will decide what to do. So they're not thinking. They're not thinking about the eternal future. They're not thinking about themselves. They worry about this world. Businessmen will do all kinds of things to make sure that their project will go well, that they will make money. They will do all kinds of things to make sure that the project will get enough money, enough opportunities and so forth to be profitable. But when it comes to their soul, it's not bothered. They do what is minimum, what is necessary, and they go on with life. Look at our young children, our youngsters today. Go to any coffee shop or kopitiam. What are they doing? iPod, handphone, laptop, something in the ear. They are busy. You go to the MRT, everybody is in their own world. They're all being fed with music, with information, with gossip from their friends. Go for dinner. A lot of people don't talk to one another. They're all on their handphone, clicking away. They're all busy. Busy. Taking in. Taking in. Being busy. Filled with a life full of activity. Full of noise. They are having a sort of peace. The peace of being forever occupied with worldly things, not spiritual things. Just last week, I brought my son to see the Chelsea-Malaysia game in Bukit Jalil. Very good atmosphere, almost full, the stadium. But there was one group of people, I think they were sitting behind the goalpost. They were not bothered about the game. They were busy playing their drums. So to them, it's not the game. We just came there to make noise. Atmosphere was fantastic. You see people doing the wave, you see the whistles and the horns and all, and the drums. All this noise. People were enjoying that moment. After the game, everybody goes home. Quietness. But they're looking for the next high. Looking for the next noise to absorb. That's why we have people who go clubbing. You know what's clubbing? I just found out. One nightclub not enough. You must go until they close. So they can go to 3 nightclubs, 4 nightclubs, 5 if they can, until the time is up. So people, young people, they want to fill themselves with all these things. And not only young people, even adults like us, we can be taken up by our careers, by our social activities, by our political leanings, like Bruce. A lot of people are caught up with it. And they are distracted. They want to change the world now, but they forget about the eternal future. People of this world who are looking for worldly peace are like drug addicts or drunkards. They have the drug, they have the drink, they're happy. But the moment that's gone, they start looking again. They are agitated, their peace is gone until they get their next fix or they get their next drink. Then they are at peace again. So, the people of this world are like drunkards, are like drug addicts. They are oblivious, they are not bothered about what God thinks about them. They are not bothered about their eternal future. It's just like a drunkard or a drug addict. He is gone in his addiction. The house is burning down. He is not bothered. Even when the fire is burning his toes, he is not bothered until he gets burned to death. The people of this world are like that. Their minds and their hearts are in the hands of Satan. And they are so busy. Busy with so many things. Until they forget about their soul. Until they are not bothered about their souls. But God, the all-merciful God, has not left us in this condition. In Isaiah chapter 57, verse 15, he says, "For thus says the high and lofty one, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in a high and holy place, with him who has a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the heart of the contrite. God has seen our condition, that we are under the power of Satan, and he has not left us to ourselves. Even before sin came into the world, through Adam and Eve, God had already planned, the triumph God had already planned salvation for us. God the Father had decided that the Lord Jesus Christ, his Son, would have to come into this world to obey his laws perfectly and to die on the cross to wash away our sins. And God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, agreed to come to this filthy and sinful world to live for us and to die for us. So you see how precious your soul is, that the Son of God had to die for your soul. So you should give a thought to your soul. You should give a thought to where you are going after this world is over. And this world is just very short. 50 years, 60 years. Some people even die when they're 16 or when they're born. Life here is very short, but eternity is forever. So give a thought for where you will be and what will happen to your soul. It is so precious that the Son of God had to die for us. And God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, took on a human body like ours. He became weak like us. Remember, he suffered hunger, thirst. He suffered sadness. He showed it when he cried for Lazarus who died. He suffered pain. He suffered shame when they stripped him naked on the cross. And he suffered despair when God his Father turned his face away from him. But the Lord Jesus Christ did all that for us. In Philippians chapter 2 verse 7 to 8, he says, he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. The Lord Jesus Christ, for our peace, came into this world. The Lord Jesus Christ, for our peace, obeyed God's laws perfectly for us. None of us are able to obey God's laws. Take for example the fifth commandment. Honor your parents. We are to honor our parents. Yes? But we break that law constantly, maybe even daily. The moment you reply, you answer your parents in a very rude way, you have dishonored your parents. The moment you disobey your parents, they said no, you still want and you do it, you have dishonored them. So a simple law like that, honor your parents, you have already broken and you break it constantly. So how are we to earn our salvation by obeying the law? We cannot. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ had to come. Had to come for our sakes, for our soul's sakes. The Lord Jesus Christ came to obey God's laws perfectly for us. We are enemies of God because we have broken God's laws. We are at war with God. That's why there is no peace in this world. There is no peace anywhere you see. There is no peace even in the animal kingdom. Look in the garden. You think there is peace, it's very quiet. But if you take a microscope and you see that you have bacteria fighting against bacteria, you have plants fighting against plants, you have insects eating insects. It's a war out there. There's no peace in creation. There is no peace in man, in our society. There is no peace in ourselves. We are lost without God. But God came, sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to pay for our sins. And now we are free. Now we are at peace with God. Now we are reconciled with God. God, the Holy Spirit, brings His peace into our lives. There's no more any barrier between God and us. Isaiah 57 again, verse 18. I have seen His ways and will heal Him. I will also lead Him and restore comforts to Him. The Lord God here is saying, those who have a contrite heart, who have repented of their sins, God will bring comfort to them. Remember Adam and Eve, when they were first created.
There are no problems meeting with God. God will come into the Garden of Eden and commune with them face to face. No fear, no shame, nothing. Remember, they were also naked. They had no fear of God. But the moment they sinned against God, what did they do? When God came to find them, they hid themselves. They were afraid because of their sins. They were now enemies of God. It's just like you, boys and girls. Your parents say, don't watch TV. They go out shopping. You secretly turn on the TV and you watch. You have a guilty conscience already. The parents come back, you turn off and you run to your room, you hide. You pretend everything is fine and dandy. You have broken your parents' command by watching the TV, so you have a guilty conscience. If you don't get caught, okay. But very easy lah. Your parents just have to touch the TV, you know it's warm, you're caught already. But you have a guilty conscience, you hide. So we are not at peace. God came to give us peace through the Lord Jesus Christ. The moment we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the moment our sins are forgiven of Him, through Him, the barrier, that mountain of guilt between God and us is removed. And we can go to God easily, freely. It doesn't depend on how we are dressed, whether we have combed our hair or not, whether we have brushed our teeth or not. We can go to God freely, anytime, whatever our circumstances may be. God's door to us is open. Remember when the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross? The curtain in the temple, we separated the most holy part where God's presence was supposed to be. That temple was split into two from top to bottom. That curtain was open, showing to us that the way to God is open. And God, the believer, can freely come to God. The believer can experience God's love flowing to him or to her. And we can love God in return. And God's love is unbreakable. It is an unbreakable love. God will never stop loving us, even if we sin again and again against Him. Remember King David? He sinned against God by committing adultery with Bathsheba and committed murder against Uriah. God forgave him when he repented. Remember the Apostle Peter? Three times he rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet God reached out to him and brought him back. So God's love to us is an unbreakable love. And God will always forgive us when we go back to Him and seek forgiveness. God's forgiveness is an unbreakable forgiveness. And herein lies the seeds of true peace. You have peace with your Father. You have peace with God, your Creator. And that peace is given to us, and it can never be broken. Peace in this world is fleeting. Here today, gone tomorrow. Remember, you know Rupert Murdoch? He's a giant of a man. He owns the biggest media company in the whole world. Practically everything we see and we read, some of it comes from him. He controls almost everything that we see and we read. And politicians are scared stiff of him. But now he is in trouble because of a hacking scandal in the UK. And the politicians are out for his blood. And not only that, his shareholders are out for his blood also. They want him to resign as a CEO. He had to suffer the indignity of having foam pies slapped into his face at a hearing before the House of Commons. So you see here, his peace is gone. He was such a powerful man, but his peace is gone. Peace in this world is costly. It takes a lot of effort for us to hold on to that peace. If your peace depends on your children, then you have to spend a lot of time and money taking care of them, isn't it? Tuition, supplements, clothes, good food, and all that. If your peace depends on your career, gentlemen, it's going to take a lot out of you. 6 days of work may not be enough. 7, overtime, compromise. If your peace is on popularity, You are happy when many people are happy with you. It's a lot of work. You have to please everybody. You cannot say no. Yes, 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 yes. In the end, you're in trouble. Too many yeses and you cannot fulfill everything. You are in big trouble. So, worldly peace is costly, is unstable, and it can be taken away for us. It has to be earned, it has to be maintained. But not God's peace. In John chapter 14, verse 27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. God's peace is given to us, not earned. When we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, when we become a child of God, when we know God is our Father, when we know God is our friend, when we know, when we realize that our sins have been forgiven us, when we realize that hell is no longer our destination, then, and only then, will we have real peace. The peace of this world is a mist, is an illusion. It can disappear just like that. So we have peace with God. And when we have peace with God, we have peace with ourselves. Remember the story of Lord of the Rings? There's this character called Gollum. Bald fella, skinny. He lived very long life because of the ring that he was holding. And there was one scene where he was looking in the river and talking to himself. And there were two characters coming out, two personalities. One was a scared chicken character, wanted to follow Frodo and obey him. The other one was nasty. He wanted to kill Frodo and Sam and take the ring for himself. So they were arguing. Do it, don't, do it, don't. In the end, the wicked one came out on top. That reflects, or is a picture of the unbelievers. And sometimes sadly, even the Christian. We know what is right, but we are unwilling or unable to do it. Children, you know it is good and right to do your homework, to be up to date with your studies, and so forth. It is your duty. It is your responsibility. But when you get home, you think of your Facebook, you think of your Twitter, you think of your games, so many new games to play. And you leave your homework aside. You say later, later. Men, it is good and right for us to work hard, earn a decent living for our children and our wives. But very often we think, we'll work hard enough, and we relax a bit. So we churi-churi. We play lazy in the office and so forth. We know what is good and right, but we don't do it. We are made in the image of God. That means we have a conscience. We know what is right. We know what is right and what is good. Go to any society. Go to any country. You go to a person's home, you take his belonging without his permission. The fellow will get angry because you're stealing his things. You go to any society, you go to any country, you whack the children. You whack the first kid you see. You see what happened to you. It's wrong to be cruel to children. We have a conscience. We know what is good and right. But unfortunately, sinful people, we do it. We have this habit of suppressing this conscience because we want to follow our sinful nature. We want to do what we like to do. In Romans chapter 1 verse 18 it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in righteousness, in unrighteousness." Verse 25, "Who exchange the truth of God for the lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator." So people of this world have turned things on their head. Instead of worshipping the one true God, they worship the creature, themselves, property, belongings. Like where I work in India, they always have snakes because they're surrounded by paddy fields. One of the most dangerous is a cobra. As you know, the Indians worship snakes. But when they see the cobra, they kill it. So you see, it's a disjointed view of things, isn't it? How can you kill something you worship? They say after killing they have a puja, a blessing ceremony to I don't know how to get forgiveness for the murder, killing or anything. But you see, it's a disjointed view of things. You are not one. Your views, your work, your actions are not united. For example, we have people who are vegetarians. They say, I will not eat meat. I will eat only vegetables because I do not want animals to be killed. But when you ask them about abortion, they support. Abortion is a woman's right. We must have abortion. It doesn't gel together, isn't it? If you value animals' lives, you should value human lives as well. But that is the problem with the world today. We have suppressed our conscience and done what we like to do, and we come up with all these irreconcilable things. For example, we admire sportsmen, so good in their games, so professional, so meticulous, so perfect in what they do. But at home, it's a mess. Their homes are broken. You know of one famous golf player, so famous, his home is broken. Now he's on a downward trend. We admire businessmen. They have billions of dollars in their control. They have thousands of people under them. But their homes are a mess. They don't know how to control their children. They are not happy with their wives, and so forth. So these are very unbalanced things that we see. Why? Because these people have no real peace with themselves. Somebody who is neat and tidy in office, you go to their house, you get shocked. Rubbish everywhere. So you see, why the difference like that? There's something wrong here somewhere. So we are all unbalanced. But to be balanced, we must be right with our God. When we are right with our God, we will be happy within ourselves. Imagine, boys and girls, if you quarrel with your parents, you say many nasty things about something, you quarrel, you leave home, you slam the door, you leave home, you move far away, maybe even migrate overseas. You don't want to see your parents anymore. Do you think wherever you go, you will be happy? Do you think wherever you end up, you will have peace of mind? Knowing that you have hurt your parents, that you have left them, that you have said many unpleasant things. Do you think you will have peace of mind? No. And when you don't have peace of mind, this will be reflected in your decisions, this will be reflected in the things that you say, and the things that you do. That's why you see many people doing many funny things, because they do not have the peace of mind. They do not have peace of mind at all. Some people don't mind spending tons of money on their car. Or when it comes to buying food for the family, sorry, no money. No, they're not at peace with themselves. They're making all kinds of funny and wrong decisions. So for us to be a balanced person, we must have peace with our God. When we know that our God loves us, when we know that our God loves us and cares for us, and that we love Him and obey Him in return, our minds will be free of evil desires. The Holy Spirit will help us to want the things of God. When we make a decision, whether it is in our studies, whether we make friends with certain people, whether we take certain jobs or certain opportunities, if everything is related and turned back to God for advice, we are a whole person. We will make the right decisions. We will make happy decisions. So we need to be at peace with God first. Remember the story of David. King Saul was king of Israel, but Samuel prophesied that David will become king one day. Saul knew about this, so he wanted to get rid of David. He chased him out of the palace, hunted him, tried to kill him many times. And one fine day, David was hiding in a cave. Saul came in to sleep in the cave. And David's men were saying, "See, God has delivered your enemy into your hands. Kill him. Kill him and then become the king of Israel." What did David say? In 1 Samuel chapter 24, verse 6. The Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch out my hand against him, seeing he is anointed of the Lord. So David had a very high view of God and his plans. He put aside his selfishness, any ambitions that he had. He did not act according to the advice of his men. He did not touch Saul. In the end, he became king in God's time. God blessed him. So God gives us peace when we obey him, when we know what is right to do. Sometimes the decision may be very difficult, but if we know that it is the right decision, God will give us the peace. Sometimes you may have to break up with a potential partner because you know that person is not a believer. It's very painful, but you know it has to be done. You're willing to let go. God in his wisdom will provide somebody else. Sometimes your job is so good, so high paying, so glamorous, but if it keeps you away from your service to the church, you have to let it go. And if you know that you know it is the right thing to do, you will have peace. And God will give you something else that is better. So we must be at peace with God. Then we will have peace with him. Now earlier we said that God's peace is a given peace and a derived peace. God's peace, God has given his peace to believers through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But we as believers are responsible. We are responsible to get the peace as well, to hold on to it. Now our Christian life, all of us can testify, is not a bed of roses. Christians are a walking testimony to the world. When they see us, right, Christians, don't drink, don't lie, always goody-goody. They don't like that. It's a bad reflection on them. It's not, we are what they are not. And so they're not happy. So you can get backstabbed, you can get gossiped against, all kinds of nasty things can be said about you. You can miss promotion, and so forth. So Christianity, the life of a Christian, is not a bed of roses. There will be periods of unhappiness, of depression, especially when we are sick. There will be periods of unhappiness because things are not working out. You've already planned everything, but everything kelam kabut. There are times when we feel unappreciated. Everybody is so busy with their things. Nobody asks about you. There are times of pessimism. You think the church is not growing. You see Christians quarreling. You are depressed. You are pessimistic. What to do during these times? How to derive peace from God during such times? In Colossians chapter 3 verse 15, it says here, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts." Now, how does peace rule in our hearts? The word rule here comes from the Greek noun to referee, or to umpire. So you can imagine a football game. 22 men running after a ball. Then suddenly it's a foul. Everybody looks at the referee. The referee must make the decision to allow the foul for a free kick or give a red card or whatever. So everybody is watching the referee. So in our life as Christians, when we come across problems, when our peace is disturbed, when things are not going our way, when the world seems to be all against us, what do? We look to God. We look to God. We remember the things of God. If you are backstabbed, what must you do? If you are gossiped against, what must you do? In 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 23, he says, "When he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously." That's what the Lord Jesus Christ did. In the same position that we are in. People backstab us. People speak bad about us. The Lord Jesus Christ went the same, had the same experience. What did he do? He looked to God. He let the peace of God decide for him. We look around us. So many unbelievers enjoying life. Right? Really enjoying life. Moving ahead. No worries about coming to church every Sunday. No worries about giving money to the church. No worries about having to serve in the church. They seem to be enjoying themselves. Sometimes we envy them, but we shouldn't. In Psalms chapter 73, verse 18, it says, "Surely you set them in slippery places." So this question about unbelievers enjoying themselves and we feel jealous is a question asked by the psalmist long ago. How can, Lord, you allow these evil people to get away with what they are doing? How can you allow them to enjoy their ill-gotten gain? But the Lord revealed to them, they are actually standing on a slippery place. Their joy, their happiness, their peace can just be removed in an instant. So, we must familiarize ourselves with the Word of God. That's how we derive peace from God. We read His Word. We listen to His Word. We meditate upon it. We memorize it. When we do this, it builds up a store of God's promises in our hearts. Especially when we are in trouble, we can remember things that happened in the past, how God has helped us and saved us. When we read in the good book how God saved people like Joseph, like Daniel, and so forth. So we must draw close to God and His Word. We must know God more and more. And the ultimate thing that we must hold on to as far as God's Word is concerned is that we are reconciled with God. Our sins have been forgiven. He is no longer angry with us. We are not going to hell anymore. God is our Father. God is our friend. And God is with us. Literally in us through the Holy Spirit. What more do you need? Compared to what the world has to offer, what more do you need? Why be unhappy when your Wi-Fi is not working? Why get angry when your Astro is down and you can't see the latest football game? Why get worked up on the things of this world? It's nothing compared to what God has done and given us. When we remember these things, the peace of God will be upon us. Knowing that we may be sick now, badly ill, but you will not be in this body forever. Sooner or later, you will have to go. So that pain, the illness, is only for a short time. Whatever problems that we face in this world is only for that time. And it's already been determined by God. So, familiarize yourself with the Word of God. Know it. Live it. Memorize it. One of my favorites is Romans chapter 8, verse 28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. So whatever happens in your life, if you are a believer in God, if you are His child, whatever happens or is happening to you is not by accident. It is there for a purpose. If it's by accident, then you're in trouble, lah. But as a child of God, no. Everything is there for us. For our good, to prepare us for heaven. Our illness, our accidents, our setbacks at work, our losses in our business, everything has a purpose if we belong to God. So when we are at peace with God, we become a whole person. Our heart is at rest. Nothing will disturb us. When there is an emergency or a crisis, we know who to go to. We know who will guide us. And be assured, you will make the right decision with God's leading. And when you make the right decision, your conscience is at peace. And you are a happy person. So we have seen peace with God, peace with ourselves. Finally, peace in tribulations or trouble. John chapter 16 verse 33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So the Lord Jesus Christ is telling us very clearly, Christianity, following Him, is not all fine and dandy. You are going to face with problems. Thank God in our society, the problems are limited. Right? You don't have to suffer death or torture like in some countries. Thank God for that. But we will face problems. We will face tribulations in this sinful world. We cannot run away because we are not part of this world. And you know, it's just like your immune system. If the bacteria comes in, your body will be fighting. It will give you a fever or swelling or try to remove the bacteria. But we are like that bacteria in the body of the world. The world hates us. It wants to get rid of us. If it cannot get rid of us, it wants us to compromise with them. No? Come halfway. Very often they'll tell us, you every Sunday go to church, enough lah, this Sunday you just come and join us for dinner or something like that. No need to go lah. They won't miss you. They want you to compromise. Right? Look at Joseph. Joseph was betrayed by his brothers, sold into slavery. But he became the second man in Potiphar's house. He did a good job. God blessed him. What happened? Potiphar's wife wanted to sleep with him, wanted to tempt him into adultery. What did Joseph say? In Genesis chapter 39 verse 9, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Remember, this is a young man, probably in his late teens. He has lost everything. His brothers betrayed him. He could have just said, forget about God lah. I just go with it. Enjoy where I can. Make full use of my opportunity. He did not. He stood by God's word and what God wanted him to do. And he suffered. He was thrown into jail for nearly 2 years. Look at Daniel and his four friends. They witnessed the destruction of Jerusalem by Nebuchadnezzar. They were made eunuchs. You know what's a eunuch? You're not a complete man anymore. They were made eunuchs, and then they were to be trained to serve with the king. They had to eat the food from the king. That means the food that was offered to idols. What did Daniel do? In Daniel chapter 1 verse 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. So he told the eunuch in charge of them, don't give us all this food, give us vegetables, give us water. 10 days, we will eat this, and then you compare us with the others. And God blessed him and his friends. After 10 days, they were healthier, smarter, and stronger than the others who ate the food offered to idols. Daniel and his friends, Joseph, lost everything. They were slaves. They were in big trouble. They were under pressure to compromise with the world. But they did not. And we will face the same things, whether it's in our families, life. Some of our relatives may have not have the same view about upbringing, bringing up the children as we have. In our work, our colleagues may have different value systems than us. In our schools, our children, you are so under much peer pressure to dress like them, speak like them, do what they do. We are under pressure to compromise, to forget God. But these people, remember Daniel and his friends, Joseph, maybe just teenagers, late teens or early 20s, they already could stand on their own. They could already hold on to God despite all the pressure that was upon them. Look at Stephen. Remember the evangelist Stephen in the book of Acts. He witnessed powerfully to the Jews, and they wanted to kill him. They were actually killing him. They were throwing stones at him. In Acts chapter 7 verse 55, it says here, but he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Here was a man who was dying for his faith, and he did not curse the people. He did not call down vengeance from God. He looked up to heaven. He looked up to God. And that is what we must do when we are faced with trouble. When we have problems, let us look to God and allow His peace to come upon us. Whether our problems may be personal, relationships, health, financial problems, spiritual problems, we must have a close walk with God and our Lord Jesus Christ. We must know Him as who He is. We must know what He has done for His people in the past. And we must always remember what He has done for ourselves. Look back in your life as a Christian. How many times God has dealt wonderfully with you? Remember those times. The devil would like you to forget that. But you must remember. You must hold on to them. How God has saved you. How God has guided you. How God has protected you. And if He has done all those things in the past, will He not take care of you in the future? Whatever problems may come, you think He's not above it? You think He cannot control it? Very often we fear. We lose our peace because we think, oh, yeah, God, no, we cannot do this, we cannot do that. And you forget that God can do everything. Stephen, Daniel, Joseph, they knew whom they worshipped. They knew His promises. They knew that they were going to a better place. That's why they were willing to hold on to God, despite having lost everything. They were in big trouble. Yet they never lost that peace with God, because they knew who God was. So we've seen peace with God, peace with ourselves, peace in tribulations. In conclusion, where does your peace lie? Ask yourselves, what makes you happy in this world? What makes you relaxed in this world? Ask yourself honestly. The Japanese were very confident of their tsunami walls. Remember the tsunami a few months ago? Their wall was 10 meters high, higher than most recorded waves. The tsunami that came was 10 meters high also. So why was the damage so bad? Why were all those people killed? Because after the earthquake, the wall subsided 1 meter. So the extra height, that 1 meter of water, went in and destroyed so many lives. The peace was gone. So where does our peace lie? What is the foundation of our peace? Is it our education? Is it that our families are growing well? Is it our children are doing well? Our career is coming along? Is our peace built on our health? So far I've eaten well, supplements, everything, I'm healthy, I'm okay. Is it built on that? Remember, if your peace is not from God, it will not last. It definitely will not last. No matter how hard you try to hold on to it, it will not last. Whatever you sacrifice for your peace of mind, if it is not from God, you will not have it forever. Only God's peace, which is a given peace, which is a derived peace from His word, that will last forever. Nothing that happens to us, nothing that happens in this world, can take that peace away from us. So ask yourselves, where is your peace? Are you at peace with God? If you are not, may I beg you, I plead with you, look at your soul, your precious soul, which the Lord Jesus Christ has died for. Look at your sins. Look at how a divided person you are in your life. Go to God. Seek His forgiveness. When you find His peace through the Lord Jesus Christ, then you will find His peace. You have peace within yourself. And you'll be ready. You definitely will be ready to face this world, whatever it can throw at you. So I leave you with this verse. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 16. Now may the Lord of peace Himself give you peace, always, in every way. Let's pray.